This is the Wiser Than Yesterday podcast. Your hosts, Sam Harris and Nicholas Farik, digest the most interesting, informative, and topical books, giving you their biggest insights. We expose different perspectives and tools to look at the world to make you wiser than yesterday.
Hey there, listener, and welcome to the Wiser Than Yesterday podcast. My name is Nico. As usual, I'm joined by my co-host and good friend, Sam. And in this special episode, we are reviewing the books that we read in the season that just ended, which was the business season. We've read quite a few books, and now we want to just do a quick recap. We want to discuss what our favorite books were. We'll also add a wildcard book, as we did in our 2020 recap. And finally, we will be introducing the next series. So the next series will be about the human body, and we'll give you a list of all the books that we plan on reading. So, Sam, how are you doing? What did you like? How do you feel about the all the books that we read?
Yeah, I liked it. I didn't feel majorly impacted perhaps as much as some of the other series that we've done, because I've done so much business reading already that it was sort of like a small, oh, some more business books that are also good, as opposed to, okay, I haven't read all the ancient philosophy, or I haven't read that much about like racism and these things before, and reading those was like, oh, whoa, this season's really impacted me. But good selection of books. Happy that we went through them, and I really enjoyed the conversations around it. So glad that we did it.
Yes, agreed. Yeah, also enjoyed it. But I felt like, I think, same as you, the books were not, or most of them were not very Lindy, as our friend Nassim Taleb would say, that they're very practical, very narrow sometimes. But it could be that in 5 years, we're going to need like a revised edition, or they might need some reworking, at least some of them.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. I think that reflects in my top three. The ones that I picked were more, yeah, I fail, I think.
I think it's probably normal. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go through the books. We'll give you like a short one sentence explanation of the books itself. And then Sam and I will tell you either in three tiers what we think of the book, or what we still remember of the book, because this is quite a while after we actually read and recorded the previous episodes. And so the three tiers are: one, like you still think about it every day, which is for me, for example, what I have with Antifragile by Nassim Taleb. The second tier is, it's kind of useful, I use it once in a while. And the next tier is, the last tier is, basically forgot about what the book was about. All right, let's start. The first book we read was Shoe Dog, which is the memoir of Phil Knight, the founder of Nike, which tells a story about how he started and built the company.
I'd say it's a two.
We're not doing numbers, Sam. There's a tweet. In the middle, you mean the middle one?
Yeah, it's the middle one. Okay. I actually really, it really helped me with like the concept of like loads of things can be going wrong, but you're still making progress. Success isn't like linear. And I think that's always stuck with me. But I think that's part of like many concepts have contributed to that. This is like another thing. So it's not like this book has forced that upon me. But Historia.
So on the lower end, on the lower end, from, I use this from time to time.
Yeah, middling.
All right.
Good read. But
all right. Yeah, true. For me, it's kind of forgettable. So I like literally didn't think about the book for the past 2 months or something. So it's a nice read, but I didn't learn that much. All right, that's Shoe Dog. Next book, The Lean Startup by Eric Ries. Talks about how to build a startup and a product the Anti-Fragile way. So basically, a lot of entrepreneurs start with a big idea, a big vision, and then they start executing. But they actually forget to check if what they're building is actually what people want and what their customers want. So he talks about that.
Yeah, this one definitely comes up a lot in my thinking when I'm talking to people about their businesses that they start. I still struggle to give it a one. I feel like a high two. I wouldn't say every day, it doesn't reach that grade, but it's like, yeah, it's useful. It's got some good concepts that do regularly come up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So for me, it's at the top tier, where I subconsciously not necessarily think, Eric Ries said this, but it's a kind of a way to live life. It's basically the Anti-Fragile approach, right? Where instead of, you know, thinking about something and trying to find like a theory around it, just try it a bunch of times, and then you'll find out what works and what doesn't. So for me, it's at the top. All right, next book, Ben Horowitz, The Hard Thing About Hard Things, Ben is the one of the founders of one of the biggest VC funds. He has a lot of experience building startups. And so his book helps throw a light at the challenges a CEO of a fast-growing tech startup has to go through.
Interesting. So I again, really enjoyed this book, but wouldn't think about it every day. I think it's the exact same as Shoe Dog. It taught me the same, like, holy shit, everything kind of goes wrong, but somehow you muddle through. You don't even realize how you're going to muddle through, but you just keep going. And it kind of gave me that sort of resilience feeling again. And the high pressure, constant stress, you sort of get used to and feel like more comfortable with. So again, like the two of, I think about it as a general concept from other things in many ways. It just helps contribute to that.
So for me, again, also similar to Shoe Dog, but for me, that is actually a tier three where I haven't thought about his book in the last months. So for me, quite forgettable, although it was useful. It wasn't as nice of a read as Shoe Dog, but I think it had more valuable insights. So there's a kind of a trade-off there. Cool. All right, next book, The Messy Middle by Scott Belsky. And so it talks about the part in a startup between the most romantic parts. So basically you're starting in a garage and the next time people talk about your startup, you're basically IPOing or selling yourself for a gajillion dollars. And so it talks about the messy middle, which is the middle parts, which is the hardest part.
Definitely. Actually, a really valuable concept and a great book, but don't think about it at all. It's a three for me, just because I think I've read plenty of other books around like the difficulties of scaling stuff, and there's more specific things. I think it's a hard one to do abroad, like the whole bit in the middle. It's like, there's, I think, reading specific books around like management and specific books around how to be a CEO, your journey, that kind of stuff, I think are more useful than this, although there was nothing bad in it. It's a really good read, but I just don't think about it at all compared to like the more focused niche books on the different areas that you need in that messy middle.
Yeah, agreed. For me, I actually almost had to look up what the book was about again, because I completely forgot. It's also, as you said, it's almost more like a motivational book, where it's not really a handbook, where it's just about like, this all happens and you'll get through it. But it's not that you can like be in a situation, open up the messy middle, scroll to the page that exact thing happens and how they solve it, which is more the case in The Hard Thing About Hard Things. But I feel these books feel very similar to me.
Yeah, it's just less memorable than Hard Thing About Hard Things, basically.
Yeah, so lower on in the tier three.
Yeah.
Cool. Next book, Obviously Awesome by April Dunford, which is a book which focuses on positioning. So there's lots has been said about positioning and how to put yourself and your product in the market. And she gives a basic framework for that, so how to use it, how to make it work for you. And especially useful for software as a service startups.
I've spoken to a lot of people that say this book's awesome, and I've watched some of her talks and they're really good. And yeah, I just haven't thought about it at all. And I'm going to have to honestly say it's a three in that I just haven't used it. I feel like I probably should. Like, I need to reread it again, just like at the point when I'm about to do my branding or something. It'd be like, okay, let's just analytically look at my positioning whilst reading this book. And I think I need to read it at the right time. Otherwise, it's just like some nice information and then you forget about it, perhaps. But yeah, I think, and we had a chat earlier about like investing in brands and why, like, when you're trying to make investments, actually a brand stuff is really important. And I think it's so true. And so if you can use this book well and help position yourself and do a good brand, it's like super important. I just haven't been thinking about it, which is a complete failure. So I feel like I should be thinking of this as a one and I'm failing.
Mm-hmm. So, and verdict, three?
Yeah, still like, be right. Honest.
Same for me. So again, I had to look up what the book was about again, just to refresh my memory, to be able to tell you that it's about positioning, which I might have come up with if I thought a bit. But again, and I think there's going to be a recurring theme. I'm personally not really, like, I'm not building a startup right now. I'm working on some projects, but nothing like tech startup as Sam is doing. And so, yeah, let's end with that, like how you should read our scoring system. Next book, Hooked by Nir Eyal, which is a book which talks about how to build habit-forming products using the hook cycle. So Sam, what do you think about that?
This is definitely a one for me. I have been building a tech startup where I'm trying to make technology for people that's sort of useful for them, that they have reasons to come back for, which makes lots of sense. I've been thinking about my own tech usage. Like over this week, I've been using my phone a bit too much lately. Like, I'm looking at my screen time, it's like, this is shit. Deleted the apps that I was doing the most of and just trying to find different ways to sort of get what I was trying to do, but in a much more reserved way. And just thinking about this hooked model. And I've been posting, talking about it, blogging, literally thinking about this, the stuff that he talks around, the cycles of what gets your behavior and your attention and stuff. And it's a great book.
Agreed. So for me, it's also, I don't think about it every day. Maybe I in a way, I think I do, because it's actually, as like, the lean startup feels like a manifestation of the Anti-Fragile. And I feel like Hooked is like a practical manifestation of the book Why Buddhism Is True, which is, I mean, it's not like, but it feels like it's in line with that principle, where we as humans have like, through evolution, where some of our habits and actions have been rewarded, which, and because the actions that helped our survival have been historically rewarded, because that would lead to us, like, that's how evolution works. I can't explain this stuff right now. Anyway, and it feels like Hooked is basically giving entrepreneurs the handbook on how to hack that system, and to make people use your product, which I think is a dangerous power. It can be used for good, but also I think most of the time is actually used for bad. So I think it's a great book, tier one, for sure.
Yeah, well, Why Buddhism Is True goes into like how to control your attention and use it in the right ways and not having it go down like unuseful pathways. And Hooked is exactly about like where your attention gets caught up and how companies can catch it and what they do with it and why your attention is so easily available and stuff, depending on how the product is formed. And it's really insightful. Good.
Next book, Venture Deals by Brett Felt and Jason Mendelsohn, which basically describes the whole getting funded by a VC process as an entrepreneur from start to finish, gives you useful tips, gives you best strategies on how to approach these things, best practices from the industry, edge cases that might be solved, things to keep in mind. Feels like almost it could be a textbook for like a university course on this specific stuff, which it actually might be, actually.
Definitely. Yeah, I did. They have like an online course of this as well. And we had like, I think, 7 modules each week. I had to do some different things. It was good.
Okay.
Yeah, I would put this as a one again, in terms of if you're in any kind of company trying to raise venture capital, you should just have read this book, basically. It just gets you so much more aware of like the other side of like the venture arm. And also, you know, I'm thinking about like other things I want to do with my time and life and how I spend my attention, and some of that is like investing and just understanding how like venture capital, you get into it and all that kind of stuff, is really useful. And yeah, think about it quite a lot, and it's certainly been very helpful.
Cool. For me, it's a high tier two. So it's not that I think about it every day, but I do spend quite a lot of time thinking about startups and investing in startups. And whenever I do, the knowledge from this book, some of the terminology, some of the principles are useful. So high two, low one, somewhere in there. And then finally, our last book that we read, Good Strategy, Bad Strategy, written by Richard Rumold, which says that strategy, as a lot of people think, is not ambitious goal setting, vision, or charisma, but it is rather a structured approach which identifies key challenges and proposes actionable next steps to overcome challenges and reach objectives.
Yeah, I thought this was a really good book. I put this as a high two or low one, as you've just been using, in terms of, yeah, if you don't have a strategy, you get lost and you just realize how many companies don't have them, or how many people don't have a strategy for their day or stuff. And just if you think about where you're putting your energies, it's just so good to identify the points where you need to expend that energy in the best way. And it's a great book.
Great. For me, I'm going to put it at a two. Yeah, because it feels like it's, it wasn't very mind, like, I don't really think about the book, but I do think about the principles, but I felt like I was already thinking about the principles a bit.
Yeah.
So,
I agree.
I think for the, for this book, if you don't consider yourself a very strategic thinker, and I think actually playing games, if you're, if you tend to win a lot of games, and these could be any type of games, this could be Monopoly, this could be like some other board games or video games. I think if you tend to win a lot of those games, you probably utilize the stuff that is discussed in this book. And if you tend to lose a lot of games or not be very good at them, this might be a useful book to help you in that. That's a very short how I think about it. So it's, for me, it's a tier one, tier two, between those. All right, top three. Quickly, let's just say the top three, and then from bottom to top, and then we can discuss like which of the three, whatever we want. What's your top three?
So my top three was number three, the one we just spoke about, good strategy, bad strategy. I feel like I want to spend a bit more time really sort of going through it, because I don't feel like I remember as much of it, but I do think like the principles were very solid. And so that was my third. My second was Venture Deals, which I found super useful, as you know, and taught me a lot around VC things. And then the first one was Hooked, which I just thought was super awesome and was like a really, really, really great book. If you, whether you're even building a tech startup or not, I think it's just fascinating to like understand the psychology of how all these things work and how your time and attention gets used. And yeah, it's great.
If you're listening to this podcast, the principles from Hooked have been used on you. So it's very useful to have read it, to understand the framework, and to think about what happens like throughout the day, like just be conscious of what's happening. Like as we discussed, like when I, every time I go sit on the toilet, I take up my phone and I open like, I don't know, Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter or whatever. And this is clearly a hook in my mind. And the thing is that I don't even think about it too much, like enough. I don't even realize it anymore. And again, just thinking about talking about the book, I realized that I have to stop doing that or at least be conscious. Anyway, my top three, which everyone's waiting for.
Yeah, so anticipation.
Anticipation. So thanks. Number three is Venture Deals. And it's a close fight between that one and Good Strategy, Bad Strategy. But I think Venture Deals is something I guess I learned more out of than Good Strategy, Bad Strategy. As I said, I love playing games and I've become relatively good at being able to, you know, game the system in a way and make sure that I have the best chance of winning. Also because I'm way too competitive, unhealthily competitive. So yeah, I like Venture Deals more because I learned more there. So top two is Hooked. And so we just discussed why I really like it. And then my favorite book, I think, in the entrepreneurship series, and I think the best book in entrepreneurship points, is The Lean Startup by Eric Ries. And I think this is like literally, if you're starting a company and you haven't read The Lean Startup, like don't even talk to me if you're looking for investments. I'd be interested to hear people make a good case for why they're not using that framework. That would be something interesting. But at least you have to have read it. So you don't have to follow it if you can make a good case for not following it, although I can't imagine one, but you have to have read it, basically.
Yeah, I think I maybe, I read it so long ago, and then I've read so many other books that cover some of the similar concepts that I sort of don't value that book as much, because like the whole methodology around it, or like if you read Four Steps to Epiphany, it's very similar, lots of stuff. And but yeah, if you're going to read one book on that, it makes much more sense, actually. I kind of agree with you that, yeah, it's probably the OG book on like business startup strategy of what you should be doing. And yeah.
So you're jealous of my top three?
Yeah. But it's fine. I'm talking really from fun. My own personal standpoint, so whatever.
So I think it's just important to keep in mind that I think if you're not starting a company, my top three might be relatively good representation, or my thoughts, because I'm not starting a company, which is very clear in what I still think about and what I don't still think, what I don't think about. Maybe I'll be, I'm thinking, I don't know, that might be come across as extremely arrogant, but my point is that I think if you had to choose some books, I would go with The Lean Startup, Hooked, and maybe not Venture Deals, and I would go maybe with Good Strategy, Bad Strategy if you're like completely separate from the startup industry. All right. Finally, a little wild card. So Sam and I are avid readers. We've both read way more books on entrepreneurship than the ones we did or we discussed in the podcast. And so we just now wanted to give ourselves a chance to highlight another book that had a profound impact on our thinking in this space. So, Sam?
Yes, mine was The 4-Hour Work Week. I think that was the book that really got me into reading like nonfiction business books, and really gives a good way to value your time and understand like the from the core of like starting like a startup idea to then like just working out how to automate every process that you do, and then always trying to like give yourself more time so that you can take on new challenges or have more time in your life for doing fun things. And there's so many business books that don't really help you achieve the end goal of success, and it's talking about success basically on your terms. And people think that it's like 4-hour work week is okay, you're going to work 4 hours and you're going to live on a beach or whatever, and like it's not about that. It is about like minimizing, yeah, it's about freedom, minimizing the time that you don't want to spend doing difficult unfun things and maximizing it on like however you want to do it, which may be other difficult things but stuff that you enjoy. And just great principles, and helps you go towards living the life that you want. I have since reread it. I think I reread it last year, and it was not as good as when I read it the first time, because it's got some stuff that is very much like how to handle a VA, but from 10 years ago, of how to book them and stuff. And it's got quite a lot of websites that you can use for different things sometimes, where you're like, actually, just an updated version would be good right now, Tim. But 70% of the content is still like timeless, I would say.
Okay, so some non-Lindy parts in there. I have to confess, I've never read the book. And the reason is that I've wanted to read it, but it wasn't available in audiobook format. So Mr. Tim Ferriss, if he hasn't done it already, I actually don't know.
Yeah, I reread it last year in audiobook format, so it must be possible.
Yeah, but then because it took a while, I think, to get out, to come out in audiobook format. So anyway, yeah, I think it's something I'm very interested in reading. But I think I feel like, because I've seen a lot of videos and podcasts with Tim Ferriss, and so I feel like I kind of know what he talks about, I guess. But I will read this book. I just don't know when. Good choice. So my wildcard book is actually the book that I chose as a that I talked about the first time we recorded, Sam, the first episode of the Wiser Than Yesterday podcast, just 1.5 years ago, which is extremely long time. Anyway, it is The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey, which it's not really an entrepreneurship book. It doesn't really talk about money, but it was... Well, if you type in like best entrepreneurship or business books, it's always in the list. It's a very Lindy book because it's been written in the 50s, 60s, 40s, I don't know, somewhere there. And for me, it has a special meaning because it was the first that I read in audio format. And the first book that made me realize that this actually could make my life better, that reading books could actually make my life better and turn me into a better person. And so I listened to the book, I then re-listened to it because I liked it so much. And then I restarted it again as I stopped halfway because I found another book that I wanted to read. But I think it's a fantastic book that anyone should read, and anyone will get value out of in general. So yeah, that was my wild card. So any other remarks on the series that we did? So business entrepreneurship, or should we talk about the next series that we're doing?
Yeah, I think, what would you say is your number one take home from like business, that if you had to give one piece of business advice now, having read these books, that you'd be like, oh, well, this is obviously the thing you need to know.
I think it would be, coinciding with my top one, is the anti-fragile approach to business, because there is no magic formula to business, and there's no magic formula to adding value, because starting a company is basically you saying, okay, I'm going to bring together a bunch of people, bring together a bunch of technology, and to add value to people's lives. The problem is that you don't know what people want. You don't know what will add value in their lives. And so the only way to be good at doing something like that is to go for the anti-fragile approach and to take small steps, fast iterations, propose, give them a solution, see if it actually does add value. And if it does add value, they'll be willing to pay for it. and then learn from that and keep on iterating. So yeah, that's my main takeaway. It's not something that I didn't know before reading these books, but I think it's the most important fundamental concept in entrepreneurship.
I really like that point. Thanks. I think, like I was talking about, sort of the things that come up in the... Now I'm going to forget the names. Great. oh, wait. I'll just look at this instead of trying to use my memory, which apparently doesn't work. So the things that came up in, like, Shoe Dog and Hard Thing About Hard Things around just everything going wrong, but it's just... not expecting the path to success to just be like linear, cool, I'm doing this, it's gonna get easier. As in, I think if you're gonna go into entrepreneurship, it's gonna be stressful. Things are gonna all break at some times, and there are gonna be times when you just have no clue how you're gonna reach the next stage. And that kind of like ability to kind of live with that and not be stressed by it, I think is really essential. Otherwise you just need to like build that resilience and just kind of be like, wow, everything's gone wrong. It's going to work out somehow. I don't even know how, but like you can just be pretty happy and just carry on working hard and not let that get you down and be like, shit, I need to go panic and go cry to people and everything's terrible. Like, just be like, well, something's going to work out. I just keep on doing it. Opportunities could come up next week that I've never even conceived of. And stuff does just happen, and you do get lucky just by like trying and having that kind of blind faith in yourself is really hard to teach people. And so many people like avoid going into business or cause themselves problems like trying to strive for things to work out instantly, when if you just had that core resilience within you, like it wouldn't be such a problem and you'd have much more sticking power. So I think that's a really difficult concept, but important to just like understand within you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this ties into what I've been thinking about when thinking about investments. One of the strange things of investments is that if everyone perceives something is a good investment, it becomes a bad investment. And so in the end, good or bad investments are relative or not. They're no objective. It all depends on the price of that investment. And I think something similar can be seen in entrepreneurship. So as a startup, if it was easy, others would do it too. And so by definition, as a startup founder or as an entrepreneur, you will struggle, because that's just part of getting there. It's never going to be easy. It's always going to be some parts uphill, because if it was all downhill, someone else would have done it. And they like it wouldn't be a startup or an entrepreneurial like potential venture.
Yeah, I really love that point. It makes a lot of sense. Around one, there's the theories around like just you should try and start hard things anyway, as in like a harder business can actually be almost more easy and that you have less competition, and it's just much more niche and stuff. But it's
because what you're saying actually ties in with the that perception is also very important. I think probably the best entrepreneurial path would be going for an idea that seems hard but is less hard than it seems. Like it's perceived by the world to be hard, but it's actually less, like it's actually easier than you'd think, maybe because you have an edge. And I think the same thing can be said exactly the same way about investments. You should invest in things that seem like bad investments, because that's going to be priced in, but actually turn out to be better investments than the people basically agree on.
Yeah, definitely. And this comes up in lots. Same with if you're trying to be an influencer or something and you want to like talk about stuff that everyone kind of wants to hear about, but if everyone's already doing like talking about those things, you just don't stick out and stuff, and it's boring. Whereas if you go like super weird and you're like, how can you come to influence on this, and then actually like there are some odd people that want to know about that kind of stuff, and it's I've seen some accounts just grow like crazy with just like some kind of niche, but like no one else is talking about it.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think it translates like immediately, but it has there's some truth in that, yeah.
As in, like, if I wanted to start a podcast right now, if I started a podcast on mindset, I'd be pretty fucked. But I started my podcast 4 years ago on mindset, and so, like, I was one of the first ones. And at the time, it was kind of niche, but now it's like, and everyone's starting, like, oh, mindset, you should think about mindsets. I'm like...
been there.
Stop.
Done that.
Bloody hell,
I'm already,
people.
I'm already successful. Stop it.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, trying to do things that sort of isn't being generally talked about lots is sort of catching that wave at the right time, I guess. Is in perhaps. Anyway.
All right. Let's close the chapter on entrepreneurship and business. We've talked about that enough. Let's talk about our next season. So next season is about the human body, and we're gonna be honest here. We already read all the books. We already recorded everything.
Yeah, and that's not because we're super organized. It's because we're super unorganized and didn't get the editing done in time.
Exactly, and that is that's our responsibility. But anyway, I think this gives us a chance to already present to you the books, so you can read along. And so we're going to go through the books, but we're not going to talk about what we thought about of them. I'll just give you the list. And we'll put it in the episode notes as well. And then you can also read them, which...
Wow. I feel like if there's any that we say people shouldn't read, we should probably just tell them not to bother. No? Okay. Yeah, it was all good. Yeah.
First book that we read was If Our Bodies Could Talk, A Guide to Operating and Maintaining a Human Body. And so, okay... Let's give one tip. Like, if you're really short on time, don't read this one. Read the other ones. Okay. That's all we're going to say on that. All right. you convinced me, Sam. All right. Next book was Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker. The book after that is Breath by James Nestor. The book after that is Lifespan by Dr. David A. Sinclair. After that, Sam and I read Gut by Julia Enders. Then we read Burn by Herman Ponser. And finally, the last book in this series was or is going to be Death by Food Pyramids by Denise Minger. Or Minger. I don't know how to pronounce it. But anyway, these are the books we read. And in general, I'm not going to talk about the books, but I'm going to say that I never expected these books to have such a profound impact on the way I look at health, body, sports. I've changed completely the way I think about, you know, sports in general because of some of the books here. And I would say that honestly, if I could choose between having read the entrepreneurship books or these books, I would 100% go for the body one, because I think I'm so happy I read those. So really go through the list. Read them all. We've also talked about like the order that I gave them, or the order we read them. So start at the bottom. If you're short on time, don't read If Our Bodies Could Talk, and go immediately for Why We Sleep. Okay, cool. That rounds up this episode. I'm super excited for you guys to hear the recordings that we did on the following books, and for you also to listen to these books yourself, or to read these books yourself, because you'll thank us. So with that, we're out. Cheers.
Yeah. But you can also join us in Syncify.
I forgot about that.
My podcast app is released in the app stores. If you type Syncify into Google Play or Apple Store, you can find the app. That's Syncify, S-Y-N-C-I-F-Y. And you can listen to the podcast there. You can chat to us as the show hosts. You can get our preferences on other top podcasts that we're listening to. We can like tag you, engage, chat about stuff. Talk about books, obviously. So yeah, it's nice to be social and listen to interesting things, and generally become wiser when you're listening to podcasts at the same way as you do with books. So
if you talk to me on the Syncify app, we're becoming good friends for sure. I can promise you that we have same interests. And if you tell me that I do very bad job at book reviews, I'm going to be very thankful, because I just want to get better at this, you know, be able to verbalize my thoughts in a more accurate way. So I think with that, have we said everything?
I think we have.
All right. That's it. Thank you for listening, dear listener. And let's speak to you next week when we read or discuss If Our Bodies Could Talk, A Guide to Operating and Maintaining a Human Body. Thank you very much. Cheers. Hey there. Nico here. Your second favorite host of the Wiser Than Yesterday podcast. Sam and I would like to get some feedback from you. So what we're going to do from now on is each episode, we're going to select one random comment from the past weeks, and we will give them a free electronic version of the book that we've just read. So if you like what we are doing, or if you don't like what we're doing, or if you have a comment or a question, just reach out and we might be in touch. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. As you know, We are doing this to try and help you get smarter. Well, I have another project for podcast listeners just like you who want to be smart. Nico and I learned so much from reading the same things together and discussing them, and I wanted there to be a tool that made it easy for anyone to listen to the same podcasts and books together with their friends. So I'm building the app Syncify, which does just that. It connects you with your friends in the app, listen to the same things at the same time, or create shared playlists and work through them at your own pace. You can share comments and highlights of your favorite bits, and become smarter by seeing what your friends think around the same content that you enjoy. As a bonus, it also helps with your mental health and reduces isolation. Personally, I hate publishing my life on social media, which I find all rather antisocial, and I don't go out of my way to phone a friend for no reason other than the fact I feel lonely. But I do love doing things with other people, and having my friends listen to the same things is really awesome. I mean, I used to speak to Nico like once a year before we started this book club together, and now we talk all the time because we're just doing something together. So do yourself a favor and sign up for the Syncify app at syncifyapp.com, and I really hope it helps. Thanks a lot for listening. If you enjoyed the show or learned anything new, be sure to share it with your friends. And I just can't tell you how great it is if you were to happen to leave a review on iTunes. These really do help quite a lot. If you have any questions or books that you'd like us to read, feel free to reach out to us through the website, wiserpod.com, or reach out to us on LinkedIn. And just keep loving and keep learning, and ideally, keep listening. Big love from Sam and Nico, and the Wiser Than Yesterday podcast.